Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's say the text together. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. Three words there, came to seek and to save. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you came and that you sought and that you saved. Bless us today. Bless us today, each one of us, so that not only can we rejoice that you've found us and saved us, but also that we can recommit our lives to reaching out in your name to do the same for others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, just to keep driving home these points, last week we looked at the words of Jesus. The Son of Man came to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. They're not words that are spoken about Jesus. They are words that Jesus himself spoke, where he said, "This is why I came." Therefore, we really need to take notice of those and let that influence us to such an extent that when anyone says, "What's this all this Jesus stuff about?" we can say, "Well, the Son," or probably say, "Jesus came to serve people and to give his life for people, to save them." And we saw that term, Son of Man, how son means that he's really a human being, but the son of, man means that he's a human being, but the Son of Man was a title that dealt with the fact that he's God. He's equal with God and he does the things of God. And that's especially from Daniel chapter 7, verse 13 and 14 or something like that. So this Son of Man, who's God, becomes a human being, and then it says he rolls up his sleeves to do the work of a humble servant, which often we're not even prepared to do, but he is. And then he went on from doing that to giving his life for us on the cross, the most important work he did, which has come out in some of the songs today, to pay the ransom to set us free from our sins, to set us free not only from our sins, but for serving him with love. What more could God do for us? What more could Jesus do for us? This Sunday, we're focusing now on the words that were up there a moment ago. The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. So three parts there. Jesus came, he sought, he saved. And that will ring a bit of a bell to some of you, I think, because Julius Caesar said words that he probably wouldn't have gotten from there, of course, but he said words like this, "Veni, vidi, vici." Veni, vidi, vici. I came, I saw, I conquered. Jesus came to earth not just to see, but to seek every lost soul. And he came not to conquer, but to save every lost soul. To conquer them with love, maybe. Jesus came all the way from heaven to earth to seek and to save every lost soul. In every little spot, every little corner where people are hiding away from him or hiding away from other people. Jesus went all the way from Bethlehem to Calvary to save every lost soul, to stretch out his arms on the cross, as John tells us, to draw all people to myself, Jesus said. Now, thank God that Jesus came to earth. Thank God Jesus came to Jericho, to the town of the chief tax collector and this wealthy city. Jesus came to this little man, whom everyone looked down upon. Jesus came to this rich man who had everyone else's money in his pockets. Jesus came to this collaborator with the Romans, whom everybody hated. Jesus came to him right where he was, up a tree of all places. He wasn't a boy anymore. He was the most famous citizen in the town. And there he is up a tree because he knows he's unhappy. Desperately unhappy. Jesus came to him right where he lived, in his luxurious home bought with the money of the local citizens. Jesus didn't ask Zacchaeus to come to him. He came to Zacchaeus right where he was. And that's how Jesus is. He comes to us right where we are, no matter what a mess we've made of our life, or how well we've done either. No matter whether people look down on us or up to us, Jesus comes to us. No matter whether we think we're so good that we don't want Jesus, or whether we think we're so bad that he doesn't want us, Jesus comes to us. Thank God that Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. Jesus said a lot about lost people, or lost things actually, in the Bible. He talked about a man who had 100 sheep and he lost one. David Kuchel, do you have sheep? You don't. Well, maybe you're blessed. Does anybody here have any sheep? Nobody has any sheep. Oh, goodness me, we were all farmers once upon a time. Well, this farmer had 100 sheep and he lost one. And you think, well, who cares? What's one sheep? But he sought for it until he found it. Now, how did this sheep get lost? That's what interests me. And, of course, it doesn't tell you, so you have to imagine. How did this sheep get lost? Probably just nibbled itself away from the shepherd. Isn't this the way so many of God's children get lost? They just drift away. They just mix with unbelieving friends. They just live with or marry a nice unbeliever. They just stop coming to worship. Not one morning they get up and say, I'm never going back to worship, but they just sleep in one morning, a month or two, and then three times a month, and then for 2 months in a row, until eventually you're lucky if they make it to Easter. They just eat themselves away or drift away from God until they are lost. They are lost. They are lost. We need to take that in. They are lost. Just like the son we're going to come to in a moment was lost. He could be found again, but he was lost. Jesus talked about a woman who had 10 coins and lost one of them and searched until she found it. What's that saying to us? Did coins deliberately say, I'm going to get lost? I don't think so. Sometimes, however, pastors and parishes are careless about caring for God's people, for the people God has entrusted to us, put us in charge of to care for. We baptize children and we neglect to raise them as disciples. And we say, well, those parents aren't doing a very good job. And yet we should say, we're not doing a very good job as a congregation. We baptize them. We hear of people with troubles and we neglect to pray for them, or we neglect to visit them or to help them in their great need. Somebody tells us about their troubles and we say, oh, that's too bad. And then we forget. We forget. I do. We forget. And people are hurt. And they say, they don't care about me. They don't care about me. Jesus talked about a father who had 2 sons. You know this one, don't you? We're going to keep looking at this one, actually. One rebelled and got lost in a far country. The other rebelled and got lost. Where was he? At home. He was at home. But the father loved them both, and neither of them knew that the father loved them. And his love finally drew the rebel home into his arms, the rebel who went away into his arms, but it failed to melt the hard heart of the legalistic rebel at home. And home is the church, isn't it? Home is the church. Some people rebel against God and the church and leave for a life of freedom until finally their freedom turns to a dreadful captivity and the bottom falls out of everything. They've lost everything, and then they start to reflect on the love that actually had been shown to them by their loving Heavenly Father back home and even back in the church. And they get an amazing welcome when they come home, at least they do from the Father. Others live in the church with all the blessings of God. And that psalm today, which was the psalm for today, by the way, such a great psalm. How blessed we are. And it went through naming all the blessings we have. And so people can be part of the church and yet live there with eyes closed and with hearts hardened to God and to what He's doing for them. And yet God, as in the story of the older son, goes out and pleads with them and pleads with them, and hopefully the church pleads with them to welcome the grace of Jesus Christ, the grace of Jesus Christ, to welcome the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, to welcome the love of the Holy Spirit, which sets us free. Thank God that Jesus came to find the lost and to save them. As we heard last week, He saved the lost by giving His life as a ransom for many. Jesus had such a passion for the lost that He came to seek them all. And this always amazes me when I think of Jesus going to Jerusalem, and when He passes through Jericho, the next town is Jerusalem. He's on His way to give His life for us. And there He's bothered with men like Zacchaeus. His heart goes out in compassion to every person He meets along the way. Jesus does not only come to Jericho, though, to find Zacchaeus. He goes beyond Jericho to Jerusalem to give His life for everybody, including us in Jerusalem, to save each one of us from our sins. And then He goes even further. He emerges from the tomb in which He's been placed for our sins, and He reaches out to all His lost children, especially His disciples, after they'd all run away from Him, because He wants to love them and forgive them back into His kingdom. And he wants to call us all home to eternal life. And that's not even the end. He ascends into heaven, and it says He keeps interceding for us all, for all of us battlers on earth. And Jesus says then to His disciples before He goes, go and make disciples of all nations. I came, I found you, I saved you. Now go and find others and bring the message of salvation to them. Isn't that the reason we gather together to worship God every week? To thank Him for what He's done for us and to be strengthened again by His Spirit to go out to share what we've learned from. That's why there's that little column on the front. I think that's why that's there, don't you think? Annette, you know that little column down the bottom of your front page? I have to say, without holding my wife up too high, but she comes back every Sunday and she's got notes written all over the bulletin. I hope you others do too. That's what it's for. Say, I want to take this home and I want to live this in my home, or I want to pass it on to somebody else at work or in my community or something. That's why our church extension is here. It's not just a cozy little place for us. It's a place where others can join with us and share with us. And one of the readings today, if you were there, said, this is a place of prayer for whom? For all nations, for all people. This is not my place, our place. This is a place for all people. We want to meet with Jesus in this place and celebrate His salvation. And then we want to go out to find the lost and bring them to Jesus, or bring Jesus to them. And this is the line I should have put on the bulletin. Every saved person this side of heaven owes the gospel to every lost person this side of hell. I'll say it once more. I might put it on the bulletin next week. Every saved person this side of heaven owes the gospel to every lost person this side of hell. How does this happen? I want to tell you a few ways in which I've seen it happen. Olga was in hospital. By her name, you can tell she wasn't an absolute youngster. Olga was in hospital. And I've got a list. This is Green Lane Hospital in Auckland. I got a list of the Lutherans in Green Lane Hospital, as I did every week. And I went to visit Olga, whom I'd never heard of before. And Olga was very surprised to see a Lutheran pastor visit her, because she said, "I'm not Lutheran." And she said, "I don't know why I wrote Lutheran on that card or whatever she had to fill out. I have no idea why I wrote Lutheran on it." But Olga became part of the church, and then so did her husband. That's a mystery, isn't it? How can that happen? Here's another one. You might know this one. Maria was walking past a church. It was actually Bethlehem and Adelaide in this case. And she needed to go to the loo, as you do. Isn't it good we've got loos here now? Yeah. And she went in to see if the church had a toilet. Just as well she didn't walk past this church in the past. And well, they did, of course. Even Bethlehem has toilets. And when she came out, somebody talked to her, and somebody else talked to her, and somebody invited her, and so on. And as it turns out, as the months passed by, Maria was baptized. And she was a German tourist just passing through town. She ended up staying for a year, and now she lives and is married to a pastor. She's a pastor's wife in Australia. One Sunday, Mrs. Atkinson came to church with her son, who joined the church. And I wrote her a letter to say how good it was to see her at church. I'd never met her before. And you know what? She never stopped coming back. She said to me when she came back the first Sunday, "Nobody ever sends me a letter." I bet a lot of people could say that today. Nobody ever sends me a letter. And if that had power in those days, it might have a lot more power today. Can you still remember how to write, any of you? You can? Okay. Yep, and we've got a good little card shop here, I think, haven't we? So there's lots of things we can do. Irina's husband died and we took his funeral. This is in Perth now. And for All Saints Day, we do what lots of churches did, or we did what lots of churches do. You know what it is? We send out a little letter inviting them to come to All Saints Day service, where they can light a candle, or a candle can be lit. Now, Irina, who hadn't been to church for donkey's years, Gudrun's still here. She was Latvian, by the way. She was Latvian, yep. So she got a bit excited about this, and she came to church, except she got her dates wrong. She even came the week before. And she never stopped coming to church till the day she died and she also was buried. All these people were lost people, but God found them and saved them. How does this happen? Sounds too easy. Who can explain it except to say that on the one hand it's by the grace of God, and yet every time God seems to use one person or more people in the process. Somebody has to get out of their home or office or from behind their computer, and I say that really loud, to visit the hospital or the nursing home. Or the home of the person concerned. Somebody has to write the letter, or the card. God doesn't write letters. Somebody has to write the letter or the card or whatever it is. Somebody has to welcome them, to stand at the door or wherever and be really friendly to them. Somebody has to teach them, like Ronald's doing with the children. Somebody has to baptize them. Somebody has to pray for them. Somebody has to keep on loving them, even when they're almost impossible to love. Somebody has to stay with them as their friend. "I will be your friend even if nobody else is." We had somebody stay unexpectedly with us overnight. And this is somebody I've married years ago, and now they've got daughters, and one of them is severely handicapped. And it takes more than one person to care for this woman of now 22. And these people, this mother and her other daughter and one or two friends, have just give their whole life to caring for this one person. Their whole life. They're caring for that one person and showing love to them. Sometimes God might call us to do that, just to love one person all their life, even when we would feel like perhaps clearing out, like her first husband did. Jesus came to earth for us, and he sought us until he found us, and he paid the ultimate price of giving his life for us to save us. As Jesus' followers, we are called to join Jesus in going to people, in seeking people, and in sharing with them the message of Jesus Christ. The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Let us pray. Lord, I am a lost sheep. I cannot find you unless you find me. And so many others are still lost sheep. They cannot find you unless you find them. Use us to work with you to go out to find the lost and to bring them the message of salvation. Amen.